It's July 23rd. This is the CBSSports.com College Football Podcast. Adam Azer and J. Darren Darst with an announcement.
Uh-oh.
This is our most likely last podcast.
That is
the two
correct.
Of us.
Yeah, that's correct. We're still going to continue the podcast, the College Football Podcast,
yeah.
But you and I.
Yeah, we're handing it over to Chip, who's done a great job. Chip Patterson, if you've heard of the last few podcasts, he's excellent, and he's going to do a great job and bring on all the guests that we used to bring on, and hopefully even more. So I am doing some fantasy video shows now, and I had to give up the podcast that I love so much, and I'm taking J. Darren Darst with me.
Yeah, I'm doing a little bit more producing for the site, working with our teams and stuff, so I'm going to be doing a lot more behind-the-scenes things. But, hey, I tell Chip every now and then I need to come on and ramble about some stupid stuff and things.
Exactly. All right, today we are obviously going to talk about Penn State. They started by removing the Joe Paterno statue from Beaver Stadium, and obviously it got a lot worse because the NCAA gave out the sanctions today. We'll talk about guys who could be the top targets to transfer from Penn State, ACC and SEC notes, and we will discuss Miami as well. So here are the penalties announced today by NCAA President Mark Emmert. All wins since 1998 vacated. I'll tell you what, we'll go one by one.
All right.
Tell me fair or unfair.
Okay.
All wins since 1998 vacated.
That's fine, and I'll tell you why, because that was the period of time, I guess, when the NCAA would look at them. You know, they hid stuff, which
yeah.
gave them an advantage on the field, because if they wouldn't have hit it at back then, they would have been penalized back then. So, I mean, they got somewhat of an unfair advantage, you could say. Do you agree with me a little bit?
Well,
the PR aspect of it, you keep something hidden, it
yeah,
helps
maybe.
You recruiting-wise.
They didn't use any ineligible players.
No, but it keeps... Listen, if you have this whole Sandusky thing on, and you keep it quiet, then yeah. But if that came out then, players would have left... Players that wouldn't have come in, and your team would have gotten worse.
Yeah, no,
so they were better because they hit it.
Yeah, I got no problem with it.
Okay, yeah, I don't have a problem with it. It's just, I mean, honestly.
Hey, the funny thing is, if they didn't hide it, none of this ever would have happened. They would have just had it, Sandusky would have been stopped, and I mean, that's not the funny thing. That's the truth. If they didn't
right.
hide it, then this whole saga could have stopped in 1998.
Well, it would have been some bad PR for the school at that point.
Right, but it wouldn't have been any sanctions if
right.
they had just done what there was any responsible person in the world would have done. Okay, a $60 million sanction. That's the average annual revenue of the football program. It's to be used for external programs preventing child abuse or assisting victims.
Absolutely fair. They need to be hammered financially because of what they did.
A four-year postseason ban and 5 years of probation, plus the Big Ten will not allow Penn State in the Big Ten championship game for 4 years, and also 5 years of probation to run concurrently, the Big Ten and the NCAA. So
I don't have a problem.
4 year bowl ban and 5 year.
Yeah, I mean, that's the NCAA's big thing, is to take away bowls, because that's where people make money. That's where kids want to play, for especially the big bowls, the BCS games and stuff. That's where the big money is and the big opportunity. So do you have a problem with the bowl ban? I thought it'd be 5 years, so it was four, so I was close.
Everything looks right so far. 40 scholarships lost over 4 years. They'll eventually have to cap at 65 per season instead of 85. It's crippling.
That is the most crippling thing, because, first of all, I would think all the other stuff with the bowl ban and everything else, that would have prevented a lot of kids from going there in the first place. Now you're taking away scholarships altogether. Now they're not going to be able to get anybody.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing what USC's been able to do with the scholarship limits hanging over their head. I just don't see it being replicated with Penn State. I cannot see them continuing with the bowl bans, with the bad publicity. I just cannot see them continuing to bring in elite talent. And they haven't brought in that much elite talent. Maybe
no,
more
they're
so
good,
on defense.
They're an 8 or 9
offense.
Win team every year, but I mean they have not an elite program. I mean they don't compete with the big boys in the top 5.
No. They do have a lot of very good defensive players, but yeah, I think the bowl bans and the 40 scholarships are going to cripple them.
Listen,
we thought this was going to happen to USC, and it didn't. So why do I think it's going to happen to Penn State? I just don't think it's the same situation.
Well, the publicity really kills them, and it should, obviously. There was a horrific thing happened. There was a cover up. A lot of people were involved. But you're right. I mean, this is what's going to happen. People are going to now say, I mean, listen, if you were taking USC, it's a little different. But if you were a good player in high school, you think, all right, USC got hurt, but I can get there and get them back to being an elite program. Now if you're a junior, you're like, I don't want to go to Penn State.
That's a thing.
That's disgusting what happened up there.
I'm not sure everybody's going to take that stance. Personally, let's just say hypothetically I were a college football recruit. I think I would still go. If I liked Penn State, I would still go. It wouldn't bother me because everybody's gone. Like it bothers me as a human being, of course, but I'm not going to hold the current administration.
No,
I'm not
going to
hold Bill O'Brien responsible for it. And if I like Penn State enough, if I'm from Pennsylvania, if I always wanted to go there, I could see it not mattering to me. Not mattering isn't the right term. You know what I'm saying.
I understand.
I could see it not influencing my college decision. Of course it would bother me. Of course it would matter. But if I loved Penn State, grew up a Penn State fan, loved everything about the school, I would still see myself going there if I were in that situation.
I think they will still have a few of those kids continue to go to school there. But I think other kids who were recruited by other schools and they don't have that allegiance, they're going to be like, what purpose would I go to school there for?
Yeah, I mean, a four-year bowl ban means unless you redshirt, you're not going to a bowl.
I know.
So that's the big problem.
And like they were talking about too, in the year 5 and 6, they're not going to be any good anyway. It's going to take them a long time. It's going to take them 10 years.
Yeah, I just like I said, that's kind of what we thought was going to happen with USC, not to the same scale, and it just hasn't. And maybe as the scholarship reductions continue, because remember USC put them off, maybe USC will see some issues. But they are they recruit just as well as almost anyone in the country. It hasn't happened, but I can't see it. Maybe I just don't have that same faith in Bill O'Brien to pull in blue chip recruits and weather the storm. And he says he's going to stay. It's going to be really tough on him. And yeah, this is really going to set them back. I'm very interested to see what the crowds are going to be like at Beaver Stadium.
Yeah,
they're going to have the same support.
That's going to be interesting to see. They play Ohio the first game of the year in Penn State.
I don't know how people can still defend Joe Paterno. I mean, get away from the statue. Don't protest when they're taking it down. Like, stop defending Joe Paterno. You don't have to kill him. You don't have to sit here and rip him. But stop defending him, for goodness sake.
But you have to remember, especially you get a lot of people up in that area, you know, you've been part of the program for 40, 50 years. It's hard.
Yeah, I know.
Not defending those people, but I'm just saying.
Students who defend him.
No, they've been ingrained, and it's been, you know, their parents probably went to Penn State. Their grandparents probably went to Penn State.
Students are so dumb. You know that? College
students
think they're the smartest people in the world, and they graduate, they look back, and they say, oh, wow, I was actually pretty dumb in college.
Yeah, but you know what? Don't forget now. You're a Miami fan. And you're a Miami graduate, and we'll talk about Miami later in the program here about what's coming down with Miami.
That's fine. And look, I'm not going to sit here and say that, like, nobody was guilty at Miami, and so how dare you criticize them. It's like, no, they made a mistake. They deserve to pay for it. You know? At least with Miami, you can say, well, these types of things happen everywhere. This Penn State thing is, like, unique to Penn State.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the other thing, too, yeah.
Would you think this was fair, the process? Do you think the process was fair? They didn't use the Committee on Infractions. Mark Emmert was granted a lot of power here. Very good Delian.
I just think the NCAA wanted to get this over and done with as quickly as possible.
Fair? Because this is America. this wasn't exactly due process here.
Well, they had the free report, which Penn State hired the FBI agent, former FBI agent. I guess they felt that was enough. That was done. They wanted to get something done before the season starts. You're only a month away.
My only concern with the free report, it is extremely credible. If you just think about who Louis Free is and the emails he provided and the data. I did not read the free report, but I read a lot about it. I wish I had read it, but I apologize.
You didn't read 900 pages or whatever?
You know, you look at the Mitchell report.
Mm-hmm.
Until a month ago, I would have said Roger Clemens definitely took steroids. But I don't see how you can say that right now, because the claims made against him in the Mitchell report, they were not proven to be false, but they were certainly not proven to be true. And he was acquitted by jurors. So it's like, well, maybe Brian McNamee was a complete liar. And maybe some of the information in the Mitchell report was wrong. And maybe some of the information in the Free report is wrong. I don't necessarily think it is. I'm just saying that this decision, it was a little bit too much power for Mark Emmert to have. And I know he must have talked to other people and made it a collective decision. But I just feel like there could have been more of a process here.
What does the Paterno family do at this point? Do they have an opportunity to appeal? Are they just accept this?
Penn State accepted it.
Well, no, I know. Penn State, again,
the Paterno family can't do anything.
No, but what I'm saying is, I'm saying Penn State is, you're right. They've accepted. They've listened. Listen, let's get it done. Let's get on with our, you know, they're still, don't forget, as much as people want to say, I know it's an athletic department there, but Penn State is a university. Mm-hmm. They want to put this as far behind them as possible and move on. But I understand about, I know the Paterno family can't do anything, but don't you feel like, you know, their father's wins are being taken away, the statue was torn down. I mean, they're going to, I assume they're going to have, try to fight legally something.
They are going to investigate the investigation. I mean, they are going to do
their
own
investigation.
Yeah, but
it's going to be a biased investigation.
Yeah, nobody's going to take it seriously, except the idiots who keep supporting Joe Paterno.
They can't say, I'm going to hire my own people to look at my, the Paterno. It's going
mean,
to, of course, it's going to be whatever they want it to be.
Nah, well, if they show me something compelling and they have proof, then I would maybe buy into it. But if they show me something that's not compelling and they don't have proof and they're just making statements, then the Penn State supporters, the blind Paterno supporters will be like, yeah, you see? And everybody else will be like, come on. Louis Free is like a decorated man with a great past, and we have to believe the report. And I, for the most part, I am on board with that. I just don't like what Roger Goodell does in the NFL, and I just didn't really like the path that the NCAA chose here. But considering the fact that Penn State accepted it,
yeah,
I think you got to just move on.
Well, the school is like, look, let's just drag out anymore. Let's just accept it, boom, done, move on. But let me ask you a question. Something else we didn't talk about in the different things about the bowl ban and the money. Another thing, too, is they said that the Penn State players – can transfer immediately, no sitting out, and other schools, if there's over the, they can go over the scholarship limit. So if Alabama, which of course is already at their max scholarship, if they wanted two or three of these kids, they could get them. No, for this year,
well, first
done.
Of all, I think that's a very good move. I think it's smart.
Well, the kids don't,
it's fair.
Right. If the kids want to leave, they should leave.
Yeah, absolutely. Here are some of the top targets, guys who could be, you know, and it's not just the top targets that are going to be reached out at. I mean, if you're Akron, if you're any,
sure. I mean, any of these kids,
you know, any Sun Belt team, you're going to go for guys who are on Penn State. They'd be great on your team, even if they're not great on Penn State. If, you know, in a lot of cases, the quarterbacks are junk. McGloin and Bolden. but there is redshirt sophomore Paul Jones. I don't know anything about him, but he's in the mix. Whatever. Silas Redd, the junior running back, is going to be the big popular name that's going to be talked about a lot. They have a senior center, Matt Stankiewicz. He anchors the offensive line. They have a kicker/punter, Anthony Farah. He's on the Lou Groza watch list. And then on defense, defensive tackle Jordan Hill, some linebackers like Gerald Hodges, and I think specifically Michael Mauti will be pursued. And some of those guys are seniors. We don't know if they'll say, you know what, I've been here, I'm going to stick it out, I'm going to stay. Or if they're going to say, this is my last chance to do something meaningful, I'm going to go to another program that can compete for a bowl game.
Let me ask you this, and this is a different spin on this aspect, because I think the seniors are going to have the toughest decisions for two reasons. Number one, they're seniors. This is their last year. They've already been there 3 years, maybe even four if they redshirted. The other thing, too, is if you've worked for 3 or 4 years toward a college degree from Penn State, do you want to go somewhere else and have a degree from somewhere else, or does it matter to you?
It would matter to me. I'm not so sure it would matter to, you know, a guy like Daryl Stoneham, who was transferring from Michigan to Baylor because he was kicked off the Michigan team, and now, well, I think he got his degree at Michigan, and he's getting a postgraduate class at Baylor. By the way, that's kind of significant because he's a good player, 633 receiving yards in his last year in 2010 at Michigan. That could be big for Baylor. But, I don't know. I'm not going to speculate what they're thinking.
No, I'm not either. I'm just saying it's something that has to be in the mix. I mean, I always try to put myself.
You put so much time into school there.
Right, that's
what
I'm saying.
You're so,
you know,
dedicated. I couldn't imagine. I loved my college. I couldn't have imagined leaving my senior year. That would have been so weird.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is you got to pack up and move somewhere else and start all over again when you've only really got 1 year left.
But if you're an NFL prospect, and a lot of the guys I mentioned are, you know, you've got 1 year left. You want to win. I think I'd probably leave. I wouldn't want to stay in this. This is going to be the worst year in so many ways in Penn State history, from like the flip of the calendar in January. I mean, it obviously went back to the fall of 2011,
right.
But from the start of January to December 31st, this whole year, horrible, right? You know, not just the Sandusky stuff, but really the Paterno stuff. It's horrible. The free report comes out. These terrible sanctions for them. it's toxic. I'd want to leave personally. But
well, I would
it's,
too.
It's easy
but
for me
again,
to say.
Again, if you've been there 4 years and you've only got maybe some of these kids only have 4 or 5 classes left to graduate, and it's your senior year. I mean, is it really worth moving? I don't know. I just like I said, it's a really bad situation. Yeah. I feel for the kids. I feel for you know people who weren't tied to that Sandusky issue.
It's terrible for them. It's terrible for the fans, too. I mean, look, if you're one of those fans that sits here and supports Paterno, and I don't really like you very much. I think you're crazy. But if you're a Penn State fan, I do feel for you. You don't deserve the actions of 4 or 5 people to ruin college football for you. And look, the victims are the child abuse victims are the real victims.
Of course.
Don't get me wrong. I'm absolutely not saying that. But the fans are going to suffer, too, and Penn State football deserves to suffer, I think, because they hid the allegations.
Sure,
but you still feel bad for the innocent people.
I do, and you know, somebody made a good point. You know, it's the administration of the people who hid it and the athletic department. All those people deserve to be penalized. People should be in jail. Some of them, and obviously, there should be penalties. But you know, as the program starts to suffer, areas around the stadium, people who had restaurants, those things are going to start to suffer too.
It's true.
This is going to be a really big hit for them. I believe this is worse than the death penalty. To me, you death penalty, you shut down the program for 1 or 2 years, and you come back. But this is going to be a 6 to 8 to 10 year process. It's going to get worse before it gets better.
But it still would have been a pretty long process, even
if it's going to get worse before it gets better.
Let's talk about the SEC.
All right, no more Penn State talk.
What do you want to talk about? Brett McMurphy's very high on Georgia. The media picked the Bulldogs to win the East. They don't have to play Alabama or LSU in the regular season. We've talked about Georgia a lot. They've got some suspensions in their secondary. It could be tough for their first two games. One is against Buffalo, but then Missouri on the road. If they can get past Missouri on the road with a depleted secondary, then they could be in some pretty good shape.
You know, that's the Tony Barnhart wrote a story, a column for us, too, about the SEC questions, and he had number one is Georgia, because you've got the suspensions. You also got Isaiah Crowell's gone now, too.
Yeah.
Here's a team that was loaded, and even with the suspensions and this guy being gone, God, it's still a strong team because the fact that they don't have to play those schools.
Yeah, but they have to go to South Carolina, to Missouri. I think that's a tough game. I really do, especially – I think that's Missouri's home or SEC opener.
Yeah, I believe so, yes.
You know, so that's going to be a lot of fun. Their defense is so good with Jarvis Jones anchoring it. They have a really, really good defense.
Is this?
I am not so sold on their offense. Now, the thing is, you hear about their incoming freshman running backs, and they're like, whatever, we don't need Isaiah Crowell. We've got some great studs coming in. I don't love their wide receivers, though. That's the thing. And I don't know about their incoming freshman wide receivers. If they can get some freshman wide receivers to step up, then that would be huge for them. But I just don't really love their wide receivers, especially when you consider that Malcolm Mitchell is going to be playing defense and offense. And in the first two games, I think it'll be more defense. Yeah, I'm not 100%.
Who challenges
on Georgia
in the East?
South Carolina.
That's it.
And I don't love the East. That's the
no.
Thing.
Well, you forget Florida. They're not gonna. I mean, they're gonna be okay, but they're not gonna.
Don't
be able
forget
to
Florida.
No, I already forgot them.
They have a deep defense. I want to see Jacoby Brissett win that quarterback job, and they have enough talent. Don't forget Florida. But I think it's a 2-team race in the SEC East. I think most people would agree.
And in the West. Is a 3-team?
2-team race.
So you're not counting Arkansas?
No.
Okay. I don't count them either. I count LSU and Alabama. I see Arkansas as a solid third.
Look, the thing with Arkansas.
But if they pull off one of those wins.
They were really good last year, right?
No, you thought
but they,
so.
But they weren't in the same class as LSU and Alabama.
No.
And that was evident in the games they played against LSU and Alabama.
I know, but if they pull off one of those upsets against those teams, that puts them right in the heat of the matter. Right, puts them right
in there.
I
think they both are at home.
Well, let's take a look. Oh, the other thing,
they
too,
were definitely at Alabama, and then they. Well, oh, the Arkansas LSU game is neutral site, right? You know, check it out.
All right, let me check it out.
Well, Alabama
all right, here we go. The Alabama game is on the road.
No.
I'm sorry. The Alabama game is at Arkansas.
Yeah.
I apologize for that. And the LSU game is also at Arkansas.
At Arkansas. Okay.
So if they pull off one of those, the Alabama game will
Rock
be the earlier.
Is it in,
I don't know. All I know is that the games are not on the road. They don't have to go on the road for those games.
Okay.
They have 4 road games all
what?
Year. Yeah, well, they don't play on the road out of conference.
Yeah, no, they're going to be good, but I don't think they're going to beat LSU and Alabama. That's my take.
Okay.
Should we really be drinking the Zach Mettenberger Kool-Aid?
Well, I mean, listen, he cannot be worse than the LSU quarterbacks they had last year, right?
That's true, yeah.
So I don't know if I'm drinking the Kool-Aid, but I would say he can't be any – he just can't.
Let me tell you, though, Jordan Jefferson actually played pretty well until the national championship game.
Yeah, he didn't play – I mean, listen, he had some decent games, but –
No, you're right.
They were winning. They made sure that their defense only gave up 7 points, and they were winning the game.
Defense is going to be ridiculous.
Yeah, it is going to be. Well, Alabama's is going to be ridiculous too.
Oh, well, Alabama's losing a lot.
They do, but I mean,
I think they will have a good. They will have a good defense, but their secondary replaces a lot.
So are you saying when LSU plays Alabama, we're in for another 9-6 debacle?
I'm not sure about that because I think McCarron might have a good year.
Okay.
You know, he could take a step, and maybe Mettenberg is this good. Mettenberger. Maybe he is this good.
He doesn't. He just has to be average. Look at the.
They don't want him to be average, though. I mean, they want to throw the ball.
I know, but he doesn't. As long as he doesn't kill them, they'll be fine.
You better be able to throw the ball if you're going to beat Alabama.
Yeah, well, you got to throw on their secondary.
What else you got from the SEC?
I don't. Oh, the other thing too is, listen. Speaking of Arkansas, Rick, real quick, we had the Petrino things gone, so they hired John L. Smith for 1 year. He's declaring bankruptcy. I mean, we already know he's not going to be there for more than 1 year. Does this affect Arkansas?
How do you know that?
Come on.
If he does well,
they're going to go after a big name coach. Come on.
Yeah.
The guy was coaching some 1AA school.
The bankruptcy case is not going to affect Arkansas.
No, I didn't say it would. But does this 1 year of just having a holdover coach just for the time being, does that bother them at all?
No, I think he's put in a situation to succeed.
Yeah, but how does he recruit when he really knows he's probably not going to be there next year?
Oh, recruiting? Well, that's another situation. That's another case. I would agree with you there. It could hurt recruiting. But in terms of them this year, I just think Petrino is a great offensive mind.
He is.
And losing him is going to hurt. You know, nobody seems to think that losing Sean Payton is going to hurt the Saints. So you can make the same argument. They got a lot of their offense back intact. They have Miles Davis back this year.
I know.
I do think it's going to hurt, though. I think
Hamilton at wide receiver is good. I mean, they got a good team. It's going to be interesting. They'll be an interesting team to watch. They play Alabama the third week of the season. So that'll be it. That'll be tell you right there.
I'd rather play Alabama early than
they do.
Late.
Well, they do. They play them in the third week.
I'd rather play them early because, again, if you can take advantage of their secondary, I would assume it'd be earlier in the season rather than later. Is that it from the SEC?
That's it from the SEC. Let's talk your school.
Well, the ACC just set it up. And so SEC had media days last week. ACC's got them going right now. And when Chip gets back later in the week, he'll talk more in depth about, I think, each conference, maybe some other conferences. But the ACC, I think this is a big year for the ACC. Okay, they're 2-13 in BCS games since 1998.
It's only big in the aspect to me is they have two teams that could be top 10. I assume we have, well, three. You could say three. Florida State, Virginia Tech, and Clemson.
Yeah,
I think they've got three solid teams.
The reason why I think it's a big game is because, a big year, excuse me, is because we've talked earlier this offseason about when does the ACC become the new Big East? When do people dismiss it as a relevant conference? And do they get left out of the next phase of expansion? And does it become four major conferences? Right now, there's five major conferences
sure.
still. I think the ACC needs to really step it up and have a big year in one of the next two. It's hard to put a window on it.
Florida State's
soon.
Gonna,
soon.
I know, but Florida State's going to be preseason top five.
But
probably.
They disappoint every year.
I know, but that's what carries the weight of the ACC. They're going to be preseason top five.
If they keep disappointing, they won't carry any weight.
Clemson obviously has got a lot of talent. They're going to be there. Virginia Tech's always good. They'll be good this year, too. I mean, you're talking about potentially three teams that could finish in the top 15.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think there's a lot of talent in those three teams. Let me just some more notes here. Pitt and Syracuse are going to be in the ACC next year in 2013. They upped their buyout with the Big East. John Swofford says the ACC is set with 14 teams. He's the commissioner. And, of course, there will be Notre Dame rumblings. UNC not eligible for a bowl this year, serving their one-year bowl ban. EJ Manuel. Now, Bruce Feldman wrote a story about Manuel, quarterback for Florida State. Worked with George Whitfield in the offseason. This is a quarterback guru who's worked with some really, really good quarterbacks. And apparently Manuel's made a lot of progress. You hear these stories all the time, but working on his stride. His stride was too short. He wasn't shifting his weight properly. Things like that. He says it's going to help him with his accuracy. Manuel also, he talked glowingly about sophomore tight end Nick O'Leary, who really didn't do much as a true freshman, but this was a blue-chip recruit. Jack Nicklaus's grandson. Florida State snagged him. Florida State is not a tight end school. You know,
no.
They haven't produced tight ends. This could be an NFL tight end that they produce. He's got that kind of talent, that pedigree anyway. So Manuel says he's making a lot of strides, and I think they're going to have good receivers led by Rashad Green.
They have a great secondary. Let's not read.
It's their defense.
Xavier Rhodes, LaMarcus Joyner, all these guys in this. Obviously, they got Bjorn Werner and Brandon Jenkins on the line. This team is – it's going to be very disappointing if this team, A, doesn't win the ACC, and B, loses more than one or two games. I'm looking at their schedule. They start off the season, Murray State, Savannah State, Wake Forest.
I think that's going to hurt them more than it helps.
Well, then they play Clemson week four. But you know what? I'm looking at the rest of their schedule. They play South Florida, NC State, Boston College, Miami, Duke. All these. They're going to win
all
these games.
Actually, yeah. You know what? I don't think it. I'll tell you why it doesn't hurt them. I have to take that back. I think it helps them more than it hurts them because their preseason ranking is going to be good. So
as long as they don't lose, they're going to stay in the top five.
Exactly. Exactly. If they had ground to make up, then those early season joke games would hurt them. They do have Florida later in the year.
Well, they play at Virginia Tech and then Florida at the end of the year.
Let's see. Would you agree with this? If Logan Thomas is better than E.J. Manuel, Virginia Tech will win the ACC.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. It kind of comes down to those two guys. I mean, you're right. They're not. Neither of them, you would say, are great QBs. If one of them can take the step to be a solid QB, I don't know. I Florida State, to me, defensively, I'd be shocked if they. I mean, their defense is going to be so good. I mean, they'll keep them in every game, and it should help them win every game. So, again, as long as E.J. Manuel and the offense isn't horrible, they're fine.
And then, really, the quarterback matchup or battle to watch is at Virginia. Michael Rocco is the incumbent, but Alabama transfer Phillip Sims is there, and he's eligible to play this year. So, Virginia, a surprise team last year. I'm not sold on their defense. I think they overachieved last season. But Phillip Sims, if he's good enough to be a high recruit at Alabama, he could do some nice things there.
Virginia's program is improving. Nice, isn't it?
Very
quietly improving.
What do you think about the Miami situation?
Look, they're going to have to take a bowl ban again this year. I think they self-impose it themselves like they did last year. I mean, they got to get ahead of the NCAA on this stuff.
I completely agree.
The other thing, too, about Miami is you worry as a fan or even just in a national landscape that they are now a repeat offender. Repeat offender.
Not really. I'd have to see the timeline, but
I think it's a 5-year window, though.
No,
by the NCAA
because what I mean is, all right. So here's what happened. So Yahoo reporting that a former equipment manager, Sean Allen, who was Nevin Shapiro's right hand man, was making phone calls and giving some transportation to recruits. And since he wasn't an official coach, he wasn't allowed to do that. Now the report says that Al Golden knew about it. Nothing in the report proves that Al Golden knew about it. That's just coming from a source. There are phone records, though, that show calls that Sean Allen made to two assistant coaches. One of them is Michael Barrow, who's still on the staff. One of them is Aubrey Hill, who's at UF. And also a lot of phone calls that Allen made to recruits. So he'd call recruits, and then immediately after, he would call Barrow or Hill, and then back to the recruits and things like that. Looks a little shady. My question is, you say repeat violator, but I don't know if these happened before.
I know. Well,
Al Golden even knew about the Nevin Shapiro stuff because, you know what I mean?
Right. It's under his watch. You're right. I know. But
when he got there, he didn't know about this. That was a big controversy.
But,
so I'm saying that I don't know that these are recruits. No, you know why it wasn't? Because they fired Sean Allen as soon as the story came out, as soon as the Nevin Shapiro story stuff. As soon as that broke, they fired Sean Allen. So if he was still there and doing these things, it was before the story broke. So I don't think it's I don't think it's repeat. I think it would be part of the same thing.
Do you worry about this UM program?
Of course. I was devastated. I was so upset when I was like, you got to be kidding me.
They kicked Ray Ray Armstrong off the team.
Yeah, well, I think they're doing that to show that they're getting serious. He lied to them. He was dishonest. They've had enough of Ray Ray Armstrong, who came in as one of the best recruits they've had. I mean, he was a big-time recruit. And, you know, at one point I saw him on a mock draft last year as a first-round pick.
Well, he'd be a first-rounder this year.
Nah, I don't know about that. He hasn't done anything. He's got a talent. That's it. But, yeah, I'm worried about Miami. I mean, if Al Golden did this, and if it's true about Al Golden, and I don't – and John Swofford, the commissioner of the ACC, said he'd be shocked if it were true based on what he knows about Al Golden. But if it is true, then he should lose his job. At this point, if you're Miami, if any of your coaches committed violations, knowingly committed violations, you fire them. That's the point that Miami's at right now.
Oh, yeah. Well, they cannot sit by and protect these guys anymore. I mean, obviously, you know, sometimes they stick with the program and, oh, you know, we'll see how the NCAA plays it out. They got to get ahead of the NCAA on this.
Absolutely. And I think the thing is, if this story had come out independently from the Nevin Shapiro stuff, it's not that big of a deal. Having an equipment manager call recruits, give them rides, it's not that big of a deal. But it is, you know, it's secondary violations probably, maybe a few scholarships, something like that. But it's not a bowl ban or anything. But with the Nevin Shapiro story last year, it is a big deal. It's a huge
deal. You got two teams in the ACC. Miami and North Carolina might not be in a bowl game this year.
And I would say you got two teams in Miami and North Carolina that might not be bowl eligible this year. I'm serious.
No, wait a second. Let me tell you something about North Carolina, and I'm being serious here. They have a pretty cake schedule.
Okay. And they have Bryn Renner coming back, and they have Gio Bernard. But they weren't so great last year. Listen, how many games did they win last year? Seven?
Seven. All right, listen, we'll play real quick, W or L.
Right, we're gonna close it with this.
All right, ready? Elon College.
That's a W.
Wake Forest, at Wake.
That's an L.
All right, Louisville.
Wake beat Florida State last
year. Okay, at Louisville.
That's an L.
East Carolina.
I give him a W.
Idaho.
W.
Virginia Tech.
L.
At Miami.
L.
Duke. At Duke.
W.
NC State at home.
That's a W.
Georgia Tech.
L. They're 5-5 right now?
Yeah. Oh, we're getting close. They're going to get 6-6. At Virginia.
It's an L.
Maryland at home.
That's a W.
Yeah, 6-6.
Congratulations to UNC. You just got bowl eligible, but you're ineligible for a bowl this year. All right, Darce. Well, hey, listen, if we're not back at all ever on this podcast, I've enjoyed every minute of it.
Come on, we got to be back. We got to do some appearances here and there.
You can try. It's going to be tough for me.
Once a month, we'll come back as a special appearance.
All right, but if not, thank you all for listening. Please continue to listen with Chip, because he's going to do a great job. He's really, really solid. And I think the podcast will continue to get better and better. So for Jay Darren Darst, I'm Adam Azer, and we'll see you later.